hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely amazing day today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing wonderful. It was about 56 degrees here this morning. It was really nice. It was clear blue skies, no chemtrails, so it was great. And again, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. I tell you what, we have been getting all kinds of feedback and all kinds of stuff from our listeners as far as from yesterday, as far as what's going on with Notre Dame. And I want to talk about this for one second. This is Notre Dame, the cathedral, not the football team, that basically burned up in Paris. And I've decided to go over there in a few weeks, and we're going to report live from Paris. So we're going to do all that for you guys. So that'll be a lot of fun, I think. I have to make sure I stay careful with where I go and what I do in Paris because it's such a dangerous city now. But you know, one of the things that, you know, kind of struck me, you know, a lot of people are wondering why Christianity is disappearing in Europe quicker than a feral cat tied to a concrete block hitting the surface of a pond. Now, the reason I said that is to get everybody's attention. Okay, now I don't like feral cats, but I wouldn't tie one to a concrete block and hit the surface of a pond with it. I wouldn't do that. But you got to remember, we have a little problem called toxoplasmosis, which is with cats, which is a cat brain parasite that gets into human beings. And so you guys can look at toxoplasmosis and realize that it's not good. So if you're going to handle cats, especially stray cats, you make sure you wash your hands and preferably wear gloves. It's very important. But we want to know what in the world's going on with Christianity in Europe. Why is it going away? Yesterday, Terrence sent me multiple emails and multiple texts, and it was interesting. We've got Muslims that are laughing hysterically because Notre Dame is burning up, thinking it's funny. We've got Jewish rabbis extremely excited because they're saying they're going to use the Muslims like a broom to sweep Christianity off the face of the earth and off the face of Europe to rebuild their third temple to bring in the Antichrist. So here we go. We got the Muslims and the Jews both happy that Christianity is in the, you know, basically gone in Europe. And well, all of a sudden we as American Christians are going, oh, that has nothing to do with anything. Now, here's what we have to understand with all of this stuff. We've got a situation now in Europe where it's become a secularized, you know, continent. And we have to ask ourselves, why did this happen? And who caused all of this? And Dennis Prager wrote a really good paper, article on this already. He published it yesterday, and it said Notre Dame, an omen. Now, I'm going to read you part of this. I'm going to kind of give you my interpretation, but I'm just going to say this. I like Prager. He does an excellent job. He's a really very conservative Jewish gentleman, and I really like what he says. I love Prager U. I love the stuff that he says. And so he's standing against this, but I'm going to kind of Ted-arise it, so to speak, as far as what it says, because the symbolism of the burning of Notre Dame Cathedral, the most renowned building in Western civilization, I would say it's the most, it's one of the most, the iconic symbol of Western Christendom, is hard to miss. It is as if God himself wanted to warn us in the most unmistakable way that Christianity in the Western world is burning, and with it, Western civilization. I'm going to stop for one second. I also posted on the Health Master's website, news site, a picture of flames. Very weird yesterday. They looked like Jesus was standing in the flames. Very strange. Very strange. Every major Western and one major non-Western social and intellectual force has conspired to end Europe of Christianity and the civilization it produced. We've talked about this many times. Yesterday, Randy sent me an email and told me basically he likes when I do history lessons because it makes it kind of interesting. And here's the thing, guys. History doesn't have to be boring. It just has to be presented properly. I'm going to try to do that right now. Within the Western world, the French Enlightenment, the intellectual basis of the French Revolution and modern West sought to replace Christianity as a religion in general in Europe with secular humanism rooted in reason. No God, no Bible, no Ten Commandments is necessary for morality or meaning. Reason and science will replace them. This was done by the Darwinian groups back in the 1800s. They had to find a way to supplant Christianity with humanism in Europe. And the Darwinian people basically said that we came from monkeys. A complete and total blasphemous lie right from the pit of H.E. Double Sticks. And we need to realize that, you know, it's nonsense. The whole evolution thing has now been disproven. That doesn't happen with the human genome, which is so organized. But they wanted to make everybody believe they were basically monkeys and that the Bible was a relic that no one needed to use anymore. The Ten Commandments were relics that you didn't need to use anymore. And you need to supplant everything with reason as far as trying to understand what was going on. These are the groups of people like Nietzsche and all the Faust people and all the other weirdos that started really pushing this junk through the minds and the hearts of the people in Europe. My grandfather once asked me, well, I asked him one time, my brother Carl kind of went off the rails. He was born in 1941 during World War II, and he just has done nothing with his life. He's an alcoholic, and he's very, very smart. He's an intellectual, and he just is a brilliant man, but he's in his 70s now. He's 77 years old, and what's interesting about him, 78 years old, I guess, he basically, I asked my grandfather one time, I said, what's wrong with Carl? Why does he make the decisions that he makes? And my grandfather, my opa said, er hat ihm selbst verrückt gelesen. Now, what that means in English is he has read himself insane. He has read so much weird stuff that he's driven himself insane. And now he no longer has a fundamental belief structure. He doesn't understand what to believe. He was reading too much of this Nietzsche stuff and all of this crazy stuff out of Germany and the philosophers and all the other weird people that wrote a lot of really weird stuff. And that's why I warn you, as my listeners, as my family, don't get off of this stuff. Man, I get some of the weirdest stuff people send me. I mean, some stupid stuff that's so far out there that's almost hard to even believe that people believe this stuff. You know, don't go off the rail like that. It needs to be based on the Word of God, on the Bible. Even in the Book of Enoch, you can use that, which is not an apocryphal text except for the Ethiopian Bible. But you've got to stay with stuff that supports a belief structure of civility and Christianity. When you start getting off into this really weird stuff, guys, let me tell you something. You got to spin it all back to Christianity. You got to make it fit. Because if you don't, you're going to lose your faith. Now, I should be talking to you like this, but I am. I'm kind of like your little pastor buddy this morning trying to give you some advice. Some of you are getting off into some weird crap. And, don't send me the weird crap. I don't want to read it. I don't see it. I just delete it. Because I don't want to be part of this weird things that people are getting involved in, guys. I'm going to make it simple for you. There was a pre-Adamic race here. It was destroyed. Some theologians say there may have been some remnants of people that were left here after the pre-Adamic race that Adam and Eve may have basically bred with. I don't know. I wasn't here. I can't say yay or nay on any of this. I'm saying that the whole sketchy, thing of the whole Old Testament had a lot of gaps in it. You know, what we know is real, but we don't know all the little pieces of the puzzle and all that. But I can tell you this. It got so bad with Noah in Genesis chapter 6, where every thought was evil of every man all the time, and these fallen angels, entities, aliens, call them what you want, I don't care, were breeding with human beings, that they basically destroyed the human genome to a point where God felt it was necessary to come in and flush the planet with Noah's flood, breaking apart the continents, splitting them apart, turning off their energy transmitters, being used as pyramids, and pyramids being used as energy transmitters, and restarting the planet over again with fresh DNA with Noah. But these same clowns, these same fallen entities and angels just got in their spaceships or in their wormholes or their whatever they did and just left and came back. And they started it all over again. Now, I don't understand the dynamics of this, why God just doesn't wipe them off the planet. I don't get that. I mean, I don't understand the whole book of Job. It just kind of, I read through it. I'm like, wow, this is just some weird stuff that I never really thought about. But just the way things are, there are a lot of things we don't understand. This whole civilization grew back again, but then they started going into Canaan, Canaanite religions, worshiping Asherah, Moloch, Baal for their fertility rituals. It continued to get worse as they went into Egypt and started doing Isis and all the rest of the stuff they were worshiping. And then all of a sudden, the children of Israel got wrapped up into that mess in 400 years in captivity in Egypt. They left. They took a lot of these weird things with them. Okay, all this, the Western civilization started, with Rome. And all of these things started to grow, and the Western church took over Christianity. And here's the thing. God sent his son because he had enough of it. Because human beings couldn't maintain the law. They couldn't do it perfectly. They couldn't maintain a perfect frequency. Let me put it to you from a physics standpoint. There was no way that they could be compatible with a perfect God, a holy God. The currents wouldn't match. The energy fields wouldn't go together. Okay, this is the Holy Spirit. It's an energy field, a being that encompasses us. Couldn't fit. Numbers wouldn't match. It's like putting negative, positive poles together. It's like putting dirty electricity into a pure matrix of electricity. It doesn't work. God knew he had to figure out how to fix this mess. So he sent forth his son, who died for us, who brought us back to redemption, allowed his Holy Spirit to come into us and basically infuse us with the very presence of the Most High God. That's what happened. Now, you can put your little pieces of the puzzle with your multi-dimensional universes and all of this stuff as you can fit it into that matrix, and I'm okay with that. Whatever. You know, just whatever it takes for you to believe what I just told you is accurate. But guys, what ends up happening is people get caught off on this rail, and they start reading this stuff like, you know, Nietzsche and all the other stuff, you know, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger and all these other things and all of this weird stuff that came out of the 1800s. And sometimes even earlier than that, you know, they start looking at the doggone magic part of it. They start looking at the parts with the wizards and the spells and the incantations, and they start talking and hanging out with people who believe this stuff and who want to involve themselves in these practices. You get off the rails and you fall into a ditch. Okay, this is what happened to Europe. This is why Christianity sunk faster and has disappeared more quickly than a feral cat tied on a concrete block hitting the surface of a pond. I should have probably not said that again, but I did. So here's the thing. We've got to take a look at what happens. Let's go back to what Prager said. He goes, the two final death blows to Christianity in Europe were the world wars. World War I ended. Most Westerners' belief in a nation state. We talked about this earlier from the Frankfurt School as far as nationalism and how they intentionally inflicted this on Europe. The belief in a nation state and the West, Christianity already weakened by the Enlightenment, was further weakened by World War I. German Christians were killing millions of French and English Christians, and French and English Christians were killing millions of German Christians, and Russian Christians were killing everybody. So, I mean, this is what was going on. So the argument and sentiment against Christianity went and started disappearing. Then World War II saw even more death on the Christian continent, as well as the failure of the Catholic and Protestant churches in Nazi Germany to offer even minimal noncompliance with the Nazis. Now, I disagree with Prager on this. There were a lot of Catholic priests and a lot of German Lutheran priests who basically were vehemently opposed to the Nazis. It wasn't minimal. There was a lot of them that got arrested and hauled off. But the reality is, it didn't stop anything. It still happened. Now, remember, you've got two opposing forces here now. You've got communism coming out of Russia, which is completely pushed and orchestrated by the Jewish cabal Rothschild organization that wants to have a new world order and who want to destroy Christianity and who want to destroy, you know, bring in their new world satanic religion. This is what they want. This is all from Sabbatain Zevi and the wizards and the weirdos. And then you got the group of Muslims that basically also want to destroy Christianity. and they're not primarily controlled through the Rothschilds, but the hierarchy, like in Saudi Arabia, is still controlled through the Rothschilds because of the House of Saud. Now, these two groups now are conspiring. The same group, the same Rothschild group, is controlling both the Muslims and these Sabbatean Kabbalists, these Luciferians, as far as bringing the end of Christianity and the end of Protestantism into Europe. And this is what we're seeing now. It's going down in flames. It's an omen. Prager goes on to say, with the end of World War II, every internal Western intellectual doctrine was secular. Fact. God, the Bible, and religion were regarded as the best innocuous nonsense, or worse, as noxious nonsense. Meanwhile, Europeans brought a non-German ideology, Europeans brought a non-Christian, non-European ideology to Europe, an ideology that for more than 1,000 years sought to replace Christianity as the world's dominant religion. This is that secular stuff, humanism. The Europeans believing in nothing distinctly Christian or Western and believing in the moral intellectual nonsense known as multiculturalism. Here we go. It gets really good now. A doctrine that asserts that all cultures are morally equivalent saw nothing problematic in bringing millions of Muslims into Europe. I'm going to add, and bringing millions of communists out of Russia into Europe. Okay? We're going to put both of those together. They had no idea that most of these people actually wanted to replace Christianity with their religion. That's a fact. That's what the Jews said yesterday. This rabbi said they're going to use the Muslims to sweep Europe of Christianity. And basically the Muslims are excited to do so. So we have the Muslim religions and these really hardcore orthodox rabbis who all want to destroy Christianity. They had no idea because in their ignorance and arrogance, they assumed and that because they were secular multiculturalists that everybody else was too a secular multiculturalist or would be once they lived in Europe. They were wrong. And as a result, the two dominant forces in Europe, secular leftism, communism, Rothschildism, and Islamism, being controlled through Saudi Arabia, Rothschildism, sought the end of Christianity in the West. The left believes that protecting Western civilization is equivalent to protecting white supremacy. That's why you're hearing so much about the whites. This is not producing a pretty picture. Generally speaking, Islam has not been nearly as kind, tolerant, open, medically or scientifically innovative, or intellectually curious as Western civilization. And yes, communism were born in the West, but they were also anti-Western. Now also, I want to say this about the Islam stuff. Islam had a lot of intellectual, a lot of stuff as far as the universe, orbiting of the stars, the solar system, and all of this stuff 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, before Western civilization discovered that. So they can't say that Islam doesn't have any breaks for this. Christianity, and that is its greatest merit, has somewhat mitigated the brutal German love of war, which is true, but it could not destroy it. And, of course, it's been pretty much destroyed now because of what's happened with multiculturalism. And so he goes to talking about what's going on of what happened in Europe. He says European Christians persecuted European Jews, often brutally, but it took the post-Christian ideology, secular Nazism, to basically create what happened in World War II, just as it took post-Christian communism to produce the Gulag, the Chinese Cultural Revolution, and the Ukrainian and Cambodian genocides. Now, what's going on is this. He goes, I don't know if a worker accidentally or radical Muslim set fire to the Notre Dame Cathedral, if they have scores of other churches around Europe, which they've already done. Who knows? But Europe is burning just as as Notre Dame was. Now, guys, the reason I say all this to you, I want to give you a history lesson of how the international banking cartel is orchestrating both sides of these events and how so much of the news is basically biased nonsense that basically is twisting everything to make you believe this. Remember, Matt Drudge is Jewish and he's gay. He's controlled, right? He puts articles up like this today. Israeli flight attendant in coma after getting measles. All right, now stay with me for a second. An Israeli flight attendant has slipped into a coma after contracting measles. The 43-year-old woman has encephalitis, an inflammation of the brain. Listen to this. A well-known and potentially deadly complication of the virus. She was otherwise healthy before getting the measles. Yes, it is well-known that can happen, but it's super, super, super rare. And they make it sound now like it's, oh my gosh, because one dose of the vaccine is not optimal. Here we go. It says in the same article, like many others of her generation around the world, a flight attendant who was not identified, here we go, can't verify anything because she's not identified, received only one dose of the measles vaccine when she was a child. Now they're saying she needs more measles. And now they're talking about measles in Israel. They're going on and on and on and on. Why is Drudge doing this and why do they promote this narrative? Because it's controlled spin. Another perfect example. Lifetime of torture from Drudge. Korean circus from hell forces tormented bears and monkeys to dance, to do tricks in front of gaping crowds. Okay, I've been to Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. I watched elephants dance. I watched bears dance. I wouldn't have called that the circus from hell. These are trained animals, and as long as they're taken care of, whatever. I mean, I'd rather have them do that than shot for sport in a doggone hunting lodge. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with the circus, as long as the animals are being treated humanely. I mean, good grief, if we're eating these animals anyhow, which they do in Africa, and a lot of people eat bear and a lot of people eat elephant or whatever, you know, if you have them as a pet, and I've trained dogs, here's why I feel this way. I've trained Malamutes, which, by the way, are one of the dumbest breeds you've ever tried to train, and I've trained German Shepherds, which, by the way, are one of the smartest breeds I've ever trained. And what happens is you develop a rapport and a relationship with that animal. I mean, I've seen bears, brown bears, sitting on the couch, basically watching TV with the family. You go, really? Yes, I've seen it in a video. It's crazy. Is that being mean to these bears? Is it tormenting these animals? Or is it just building a relationship and a rapport with these animals? You can't let these secular humanists twist your head like this, that the Ringling Brothers, the Barnum and Bailey Circus is bad. And all the things are bad. In fact, it got so much bad publicity, you know, that you ended up in a situation where it pretty much went out of business and quit going around the country. Another article from Drudge. Another one. Listen to this. Massive manhunt underway for a Florida woman infatuated with colorblind, now armed with a shotgun in Colorado. It says this lady purchased a shotgun and ammunition in Colorado after arriving from Miami And now there's a giant manhunt on for her. Again, demonizing guns, demonizing weapons, demonizing people that want to own guns. This is from Drudge. These are the twists they put on the news over and over and over and over and over again to skew the opinions of the listeners. Okay? Another one, Russian Insider. This is an article that was pretty good. It wasn't on Drudge. Of course, you'd never find this on Drudge. It says, popular French journalist is jailed for denying soap and lampshade Hohala hoax myth. Now, what that means, they're saying that a lot of the Jews were being used to manufacture soap, being using the Jews' fat to make soap, and also using their skin to make lampshades. And a lot of people say this is a complete and total myth. Well, their journalist basically said, you know, you can't prove that there's any research on this, and you can't prove this really happened, so why do we continue to say this stuff? And, of course, he's thrown in prison. You say, well, he shouldn't be saying it's not real. Well, why can't he question the narrative? Why can't he question the narrative? Why can't you question the narrative about 9/11 without being called a conspiracy theorist? This morning, I'm looking at a dog online, and it was on Zero Hedge, and it said that now they're saying that the fire at Notre Dame is being called a conspiracy theory and being banned. I mean, are you kidding me? From YouTube? I mean, really? From YouTube? And, of course, I think he said they made a mistake and they corrected it. But here's the thing. Is everything a conspiracy theory? Are the chemtrails that you watch being sprayed on you every day a conspiracy theory? Are these crazy weather patterns a conspiracy theory? I mean, is everything a conspiracy theory? The Kennedy assassination a conspiracy theory? I mean, the guy had his head blown off in front of the world. I mean, is that a conspiracy theory? No! What they're doing is they're twisting the narrative to make you think you're crazy and not to believe anything and to believe their lies. Because remember, it's like Hitler said, if you tell something long enough, loud enough, and hard enough, and strong enough, and often enough, people are going to believe the lie. The bigger the lie, the better the lie. Why is that? Why do we have such a bias towards that? I don't know. I mean, human beings are funny about stuff like that. I think it's part of the normalcy bias that we have, that we always want to have things normal in our lives, and we don't want to believe this crazy stuff on the far left or the far right. And so we kind of just believe it's going to stay the same as it's always been. You know, I mean, Jim Rohn used to say that. He says, last year is about the same as this year, next year will be about the same as this year. And he said basically always stays about the same. Sometimes it stays the same, sometimes it doesn't. The last 15, 20 years, it hasn't been staying the same. We've got men using the bathroom with little girls. Okay? That's not okay. Trump hasn't, you know, gotten rid of all this weird stuff that had happened. We got 100,000 people coming across the border minimum per month. Trump hasn't stopped any of that. I mean, none of this stuff is okay. None of this is conspiracy theory. It's just it's fact. You say, well, you shouldn't say that 9/11 was an inside job. Well, was it then? You shouldn't say that immunizations cause autism. What causes them then? You shouldn't say that glyphosate may cause autism or increase the risk of autism. Then what causes it? So if these guys aren't going to give us real scientific documentation, I mean, what happened last week? Look what happened up at Duke University. They had to pay over $100 million out in fines because they fabricated research. Come on, guys. Everything's being controlled through the money, through the Sabbatean Kabbalists, who see money as an energy flow. That's how they see money. And they do it with their rituals and their weirdo stuff and their human sacrifices and all their animal sacrifices and all the crazy stuff these guys have been involved with since the beginning. With these fallen angels, who taught them how to do this, by the way. Or call the fallen angels whatever you want. If you're not a Christian listening to the show this morning, call them some reptilian alien. I could care less. It doesn't make a difference. It's the same thing. Whatever. I mean, Lucifer shows up as a snake in the garden, you know, to basically beguile Eve. What the heck does all that mean? I mean, there's some weird stuff that we have going on this planet that we don't want to talk about. That's why Jesus told us. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. The New Testament tells us our battle is not against the pot. I think it was Paul who said this. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but all these principalities and these things that are going on in these other, he didn't say this, but this is what he implied, dimensions that we can't see. Stay grounded in the Word of God and realize Christianity was the answer to a dying civilization, to a lost world. And these Sabbatean Luciferian wizards, these druids, these weirdos, these secret societies, don't want it to stay around. They want to destroy it. And they've allowed Hollywood, who's controlled by the same group, to come in and put every manner of filth into your home every night. That's why I have no longer have cable TV. I don't have it. It's gone. Done. Don't have satellite TV either. Gone. Done. Yeah, just done. I don't want that stuff in my house anymore because it's all a bunch of lies and I'm not going to subsidize it. Guys, stay true to your faith. Stay true to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. Love you guys. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, no doubt about it. There's definitely a lot of crazy stuff going on, as always. And I mean, one thing that I was doing a little bit more research on today is that there's this aspect of what we're constantly seeing with these push for the vaccines. And like you said, it's always being turned as this conspiracy theory. Everything you disagree with about them is then a conspiracy theory. The proponents of the vaccine industry, we have seen now, are so quick to label anybody that even questions a vaccine or the damaging effects or even the fact that the vaccine, you know, people, as far as the vaccine courts, have paid out over $4 billion in the last 25 years. But that's that. Don't bring any of that up. Anybody that brings that up, they say it's either misinformation and it's designed to stoke fear about safety of vaccines. And what's crazy is it's only fear-mongering if you go against what they say. Have I ever noticed that? It's always fear-mongering. It's always conspiracy theory as soon as you go against what they say. We don't ever come out and say, oh, you know, this is a conspiracy theory that they're trying to push on us. Because most of the time, if it's fact, okay, they are trying to do that. That's a fact. We're not even going to deny it. They want to try to remove the guns from the general population. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a fact. They're blatantly open about that. Okay, I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with what they're doing, but that's what they want to do. At least we know what their hands are on the table. But when every time we bring up a topic, anytime we bring up a fact, anytime we bring up a rebuttal, and it's constantly dismissed as misinformation or fake news or conspiracy theory, it tends to show you exactly where they are going with this whole thing. I saw an article earlier today on Dave Hodges' website, and he was discussing an actual article that was on Breitbart yesterday, which I found interesting because I brought this up briefly, but I wanted to go into it a little bit further because we're kind of starting to see possibly the beginning of something here. You guys remember yesterday when I talked about another Ebola vaccine that was being developed by Merck, that essentially the vaccine was unlicensed and in clinical trials conducted in Guinea near the end of West Africa. Now, we talked in detail about how the World Health Organization's Vaccine Advisory Committee has now recommended that this vaccine be used as part of an arsenal of tools deployed to quell against any Ebola outbreaks worldwide. Now, what's interesting about this is public health officials in Laredo, Texas, have said that 20 Congo migrants are being monitored for Ebola and other diseases across the Mexican border. They said shortly after this announcement, during a Laredo City Council meeting, the World Health Organization considered, listen to this, the World Health Organization considered this week declaring a global emergency in response to the Ebola outbreak in the Republic of Congo. They go on to say that we have 8 Congo migrants right now in one of our shelters and a dozen in Novo Laredo. They're going on to say, for them, my concern was Ebola. This is the Laredo health director. He said that due to the time element, the Congo migrants were not developing symptoms of Ebola yet, but were on alert. So here we have the World Health Organization last week discussing the Ebola vaccine that now supposedly has all this effective power. Oh, it works 97% of the time. That's what they're declaring over there in the Congo. We have Merck that's developed this thing. Now, here's something that I forgot all about, and Dave Hodges picked this up yesterday, and he brought this to my attention again. The CDC owns the patent on Ebola and all future strains. This is not conspiracy theory. This is fact. You can look it up online right now, even under Google patents. They blatantly clarify this. It is classified as a virus, bacteria, composition thereof, abstract of any methods and compositions relating to the Ebola Bongvado virus are provided. Patent number, European Patent Office, EP23502700A2. Current assignee, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, was essentially sent to priority in 2008 as the application was filed. It was granted, total granted, last year, 2018, and they're saying now that the anticipated expiration date is November of 2029. Now, does that seem odd to anybody but me that last summer the U.S. patent was finally granted to the CDC and the U.S. Department of Health for a patent on Ebola and its composition and methods alike? And now all of a sudden we're seeing Ebola resurge again. We're seeing Merck introduce Ebola virus that the World Health Organization is saying it needs to be used in its arsenal of vaccines globally now. Now we see that the World Health Organization, as of yesterday, was saying that they may possibly want to come out now and declare Ebola a global emergency. Does anybody else think this is coincidental right now? And why in the heck does the Health Department and the U.S. Department of Health and CDC own the patent on Ebola? Does nobody else think that's odd to me? This is not conspiracy theory. This is fact right now. I specifically went over a lot of the stuff this morning to make sure I had all my ducks lined up, and this was not some fake news website. This wasn't, oh, well, this is weird. No. No, this is 100% factual right now. We have Breitbart and the World Health Organization, along with the Laredo Health Department, saying that they have 8 Congo migrants in the southern border that are basically, they're afraid they have Ebola. We have the World Health Organization that's saying now that Merck has developed this unlicensed vaccine out of nowhere that's super effective now. At the same time, they need to declare Ebola a world health global, basically, pandemic. And now we're seeing all this stuff line back up to 10 years ago when the CDC and the Department of Health was filing for this. And it just seems kind of funny to me that, as everything we know that's going on over the next few years, the United Nations 2030 agenda, I've talked about that in detail on previous shows. I'm not going to go into detail because it's just forever. About all the things they want implemented. I mean, they want 100% implemented by 2030. And we see that this Ebola virus just happens to have a patent on it through the CDC that lasts until November 2029, essentially 10 years from now. These are some very strange things, and they are not conspiracy theories. They are facts that are going on. And now we even have state lawmakers that have gotten so troubled by a lot of this. They have now put forth multiple vaccine measures. One such measure was SB2350 in Texas that will mandate the need for legitimate vaccine safety studies. Legislators are pushing to ensure no parent is forced to vaccine their child in the state of Texas. And what's ironic about this is that Senator Bob Hall, who's introduced this bill, actually has a lot of support for it, and it would mandate the necessity of legitimate safety studies before a vaccine can be administered by a healthcare provider. The bill will also toughen up on vaccine safety requirements and how safety studies are performed. It's not at all uncommon for Big Pharma to manipulate data in its favor. I talked to you guys about the MMR vaccine in the past. So we see now this new regulation proposed by SB2350 would mandate sufficient time for vaccine side effects to be observed post-vaccine and safety studies, and would also demand that all vaccines be evaluated, listen to this, for their ability to cause cancer, fertility issues, neurological changes, and other unintended consequences. Now, the likelihood of this bill getting passed because of the fact that the CDC makes billions of dollars a year off vaccines, and how Big Pharma, including Merck and GlaxoSmithKline, essentially run this country now through their policies, through vaccines and giant pharmaceutical sales, they're never going to let this bill go through. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is that this bill shows, it shows that there is a spark, there is a twinkle, at least out in Texas, that some of these lawmakers and some of these senators are waking up to the general population and waking up and saying, this is not okay. This is not something we're okay with. This is something we have to address. We have to start mandating the necessity to have legitimate safety studies in these vaccines. And also, too, we need to demand that these vaccines are evaluated for their ability to cause cancer, fertility issues, neurological damage, and any unintended consequences. So I'm glad they're putting this out. I'm glad Senator Bob Hall is actually a proponent of this. I don't think it's going to go through, but guys, we are right on the verge of seeing medical martial law be implemented in this country, in my opinion. As you guys know, we have, what, in New York right now, there's multiple lawsuits because of what is going on right now. And the fact that de Blasio is allowing, you know, people to be fined now up there if they don't have any type of vaccinations against the measles, this is all very strange. As you guys know as well, the CDC, they've had already executive orders that were written in the law that the United Nations, along with the CDC, has the ability to detain individuals, and they have the ability to essentially, one topic here, went on, where does it say here? I want to pull it up again. It says the CDC is authorized to detain people suspected of carrying diseases like Ebola and smallpox. And it goes on to say that the rule allows the CDC to move on somebody based on the belief that they may pose a risk. The rule allows the CDC ultimate authority to carry out medical tests and treatments, stating that an individual's consent shall not be considered as a prerequisite to the exercise of any authority. This is what the CDC already has in law right now. I talked about this like 4 years ago. This is already implemented right now, the CDC, to be able to do this. So we already are right on the precipice of something happening like this, the CDC having the carte blanche immunity to go and detain people and vaccinate them against their will, and now we already see the pretext of trying to get the population. In my opinion, a huge portion of what's being done up in New York is being done as an aggressive effort to normalize this and get the population submissive to this mandatory vaccine ideology on a small scale so they can start to put it out on a larger scale. Guys, what we're seeing with Merck, what we're seeing in the Congo, what we're seeing with the CDC, what we're seeing with the patent with Ebola, what we're seeing right now with the reports on Laredo, Texas, in my opinion, these are not coincidences at all. We need to be aware, we need to be awake, and we need to be ready to stand up for our rights at any given time right now.
You know, Austin, the boys at Fort Detrick have been doing their job. You know, they do these, they do all of these things out in Sierra Leone. They basically do these research studies. They try to weaponize Ebola, weaponize the bird flu. They try to weaponize everything. And, you know, it's all because they want population reduction. The one thing, I talked about this a few weeks ago. I try not to talk about this very much because it gets too weird. When I talked about ManCow going in and using the ayahuasca and going into that altered state and seeing a person transform in front of himself, I mean, actually shapeshift, and then he went into this thing and he actually witnessed his father's death all over again in 3D Technicolor like he was there, you know, all these other people having all these crazy visions, a lot of them the same visions. They all saw the one guy shapeshift in front of them, which is really, really strange, which means it wasn't a hallucination. It really happened. You know, what happens, Austin, is that, you know, people don't understand that these entities on this other side, the, one of the key things they're called, by the way, they call them elves, and like, you know, like Keebler's elf or whatever. He's not the happy elf. And they end up basically wanting, they want population reduction. They're pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. These are the entities on the other side of the veil. Apparently there's too many of us as far as how they see things, and they want a reduction in the population, which goes right on with the, you know, the United Nations 2030 global agenda. And this whole thing, I talked to Dave Hodges about this yesterday in depth. The entire thing that he says is happening on the southern border is a precursor to war. He said what they're doing is they're going to bring in martial law, basically in the United States with some type of pandemic. And then when everything's in complete and total chaos in the United States and the population is just like, you know, completely and totally in disarray, that's when they're going to bring in, start bringing troops in across the southern border. Now, think about it for a second, guys. Donald Trump's not building a wall. Now, do you think Donald Trump may build a wall? I don't know. He's, you know, he's got, you know, less than 2 years left before his next election. So, I mean, chances are no. He's got a year and a half. It's just difficult to that time, get that type of engineering put together and to get it built quickly after this much time. So there's no real protection. Now you say, well, border walls really don't work that well. You know, we saw that with Germany and France in World War II with, you know, with the, with all the barriers that they put up, and Hitler just went around the wall. That's exactly true. That's what he did. But the reality is this, you know, we're getting set up. And we're getting set up for the global government. I mean, think about it for Tesla. Tesla basically got his whole industry just shut down. Gone. You know, Elon Musk is gone. You know, just because they weren't ready yet for that technology to be released and for the demise of the petrochemical industry. Weren't ready for it. Because of the dollar still being traded in petrodollars. The allegiance that we have with Saudi Arabia because of the petrodollar. And all of the things that we do to maintain the stability of the United States currency. There's no reason right now that gold shouldn't be at $25,000 an ounce minimum. The silver shouldn't be, you know, $500 an ounce. There's no reason for it. There's no reason at all. Maybe $1,000 an ounce. In historical terms, it'd be 20 to 1. So it'd be $20,000 an ounce for gold, $1,000 an ounce for silver. All of it basically manipulated repeatedly. Now, another good article that came out, this was again on Zero Hedge. And it says, from Jesus Christ to Julian Assange, when dissidents become enemies of the state. I have this posted at the Health Master's website. Before I read this, let me give you one thing. Let me give you a bit of advice. The D3, the iodine, and the vitamin C has to be taken every day. Guys, this isn't a plug. Okay, I'm just telling you I'm telling you what you need to be doing from your immune system standpoint. If they're getting ready to release some weird crap on us, some weird pathogen, some weird virus, you need to have your immune system really stoked up. Our immune systems in the United States are already completely compromised because of glyphosate and because of the chemtrail stopping the production of vitamin D from the cholesterol in the skin. Our immune systems are a mess. That's why people get coughs when they have them for 5 or 6 months. You've got to keep your immune system strong. If you don't take anything else, take the multiple. Take the iodine. Take the D3K two or three times a week, and make sure you take your vitamin C every day. I can't make that any more strong of a statement than that. Okay. Here's the article again from Julian Assange. When dissidents become enemies of the state, he goes on to say, in the current governmental climate where laws that run counter to the dictates of the Constitution are made in secret, passed without debate, and upheld by secret courts that operate behind closed doors, obeying one's conscience and speaking truth to the power of the police state can render you an enemy of the state. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is merely the latest victim of the police state's assault on dissidents and whistleblowers. He was arrested on April 11th, 2019, while Hillary Clinton still roams free. Thought I'd mention that. Throughout history, individuals have risen up to challenge the injustices of their age. Nazi Germany, which had resistance, had its Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The gulags of the Soviet Union were challenged by the brilliant Alexander Solzhenitsyn. You guys need to read his stuff. It's amazing how brilliant that guy was. America had its color-coded system of racial segregation and warmongering called out for what it was, blatant discrimination and profiteering by Martin Luther King Jr. And then there was Jesus Christ, an itinerant preacher, a revolutionary activist who not only died challenging the police state of his day, the Roman Empire, but provided a blueprint for civil disobedience that would be followed by those religious and otherwise who came after him. And I will add that also he was resurrected from the dead. So we have to understand what happens when you challenge the police state. Secrecy, surveillance, and the rule by the elite. Widespread police presence. Citizenry with little recourse against the police state. Perpetual wars and military empire. Martial law. A nation of suspects. Acts of civil disobedience by insurrectionists like Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, Snowden. Military-style arrest in the dead of the night. Oh, yeah. That's right. And then he goes on to say, Jesus' arrest account testifies to the fact that Romans perceived him as a revolutionary, as a threat. Eerily similar to today's SWAT team raids, Jesus was arrested in the middle of the night, in secret, by a large, heavily armed fleet of soldiers. Rather than merely asking for Jesus when they came to arrest him, his pursuers collaborated beforehand with Judas, acting as the government informant. Judas concocted a kiss as a secret identification marker, hinting that a level of deception and trickery must be used to obtain this seamless, dangerous revolutionaries' cooperation. They come into the middle of the night because you're a medical doctor and you're trying to treat cancer naturally with a SWAT team with 20 or 30 guys with 10 or 12 cars making your neighbors and everybody else think you're running drugs and all you were doing is trying to do a natural treatment protocol for cancer. And we all sit back and go, oh, okay. We also continue with torture and capital punishment, the torture being waterboarding and who knows what else. And he finally goes, Jesus the revolutionary, the political ascendant, and nonviolent activist, lived and died in the police state. I'm adding he was resurrected from the dead. Any reflection on Jesus' life and death in the police state must take into account several factors. He spoke out strongly against such things as empires, controlling people, state violence, and power politics. Jesus challenged the political and religious belief systems of his day, and worldly powers feared Jesus. You better believe that, and they still do, by the way. Not because he challenged them for control or thrones or government, because he undercut their claims of supremacy, and he dared to speak truth to power in a time when doing so could and would cost a person their life. Guys, this is so important. This is also posted on the Health Master's website. I want you to read this. It's an excellent analogy of what Jesus did for us and how the similarities are so close to what's happening today in our police state. When we speak out against what these guys are doing, what this international banker cabal is doing, what these Sabbateans are doing, what the Luciferians are doing, what these guys who basically do soul cooking parties are doing, or you may say it this way, the people who took down Building 7 are doing. Okay, people say, well, Building 7, best of 9/11. If you haven't read about Building 7, go Google it, Building 7 Collapse, Solomon Building. The people who took down Building 7 are doing, this is the deep state. This is that group of treasonous people who work together all over the world, all of them having a satanic background, all of them being Luciferians at the high level, to control people through money, power, prestige, and notoriety. Happens all the time. Austin, what do you think?
No question about it. I mean, it's exactly what I talked about earlier. You know, once this tyrannical base starts to take hold, anything, any truth, any facts, any questions are then deemed essentially misinformation or fake news or fake speech or whatever they want to deem it for now. We've seen so many times where everything's getting constituted as hate speech now. You bring up a topic about somebody, no, I don't want that 40-year-old man going in the bathroom with my daughter because he thinks he's a woman. Well, that's hate speech. You can't say that about him. You have to respect him. Okay? I will respect him once he actually respects me and respects my family. Going into the bathroom with a female because you want to claim you're a girl because you're mentally retarded doesn't make me respect you, and nor is it going to make it hate speech for me asking you not to do so. It simply means that you want to be respected simply on the fact that you twist the entire ideology of morals and ethics and standards and flip them on their head and demand everybody respect you because of you doing so. That doesn't make you right. That just makes you a moron and disrespectful to everybody else. This is a concept that everybody is starting to forget in the United States, and this is why we're running into so many issues now all across the country, in the churches, in the schools, in the marriages, in the relationships, because the good is being turned into the bad, and the bad is being turned into the good, and the vast majority of the population doesn't even see it anymore. It doesn't even matter if it's coming down to your health, or to your beliefs, or to your ethics. It doesn't matter. It's all being twisted now. They're going full-fledged attack on everything. I saw an article earlier the other day that I thought was interesting. Procter & Gamble now came out with this big marketing campaign of this, I mean, and it's just this really unbelievably obese woman that's basically on the beach in a two-piece swimming suit, and they claim that this is the new beauty now. I kid you not. They said it represents the beautiful women of all shapes and sizes go out there and slay the day. And this woman's probably, you know, upwards of 350, 400 pounds in a two-piece swimsuit. And what's insane about this is that Procter & Gamble, again, if you guys remember, they pushed a nonsensical ad with Gillette about a month and a half ago, about toxic masculinity and shaving ads gearing towards their male partners. And so the thing that's going on right here, and we see this Gillette Venus ad that they're posting right now, along with this Procter & Gamble ad that they just put out with, it's being done as intentionally to twist the entire concept of what's right and wrong. I'm sorry, and I have a newsflash for everybody. If you're 5'2" and 400 pounds, not only is that not beautiful, that's really unhealthy. That's just a fact. You can have your opinion on whether or not you think that's pretty or it's not pretty. Okay, take that to the side. It's a known fact that when you become obese, the increased rate of almost every single disease goes up. It's a known fact that people that are obese do not live as long or live near as healthy and have much more medical issues because of their weight issues. That is a fact. That's not even up for debate. So when we're seeing now that the media is going out now and trying to promote, and they've been doing this for years now, they've been trying to promote this obese lifestyle as this is the normal, this is the new beautiful, you need to feel comfortable in your skin. Yes, absolutely. Everybody needs to maintain a level of self-respect. Everybody needs to have a high self-esteem. I agree with that. But again, we also have to call a spade, or an apple. Saying that somebody's 400 pounds and that's healthy and that's beautiful and we shouldn't ever question anything they do or why the fact that they eat 15,000 calories a day because you may offend them due to hate speech is simply simply lunacy. You can't sit around now and continue to close our eyes and say, oh, it doesn't matter what this person does. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how sick they are. We have to support their decision. Are we taking the next step now? It doesn't matter how much heroin somebody uses. It doesn't matter how much meth somebody uses. We just need to sit back and say, oh, it's okay. They're beautiful. I know they're a meth head. I know they're stealing money from me because of their heroin usage, but it's okay. They're beautiful in the way they are, and they need to be respected for what they're doing because it's their choice. Where is the line drawn where we start seeing things and we come in and say, no, you need to address this. This isn't healthy. Eating 15,000 calories a day isn't healthy. Doing meth and heroin isn't healthy. There's certain things that are not healthy or conducive to a healthy lifestyle. You have freedom of choice to do so. If you really want to do them, you can do them, but that doesn't mean us as a society needs to normalize it, accept it, condone it, and make it the new normal just because other people get upset for you calling out what they do. This is a concept that has to be opened back up in the United States, because we're getting to the point now where we can't talk about obesity, we can't talk about this transgenderism, we can't talk about drug use, we can't talk about any type of immoral or unethical or unchristian acts, all because people need to be inclusive and everybody needs to feel happy, and we don't want to promote any type of hate speech, when in reality, majority of that hate speech that they deem it to be hate speech is simply truth facts that nobody wants to hear. And again, it goes right back down to what Dad said. When you reach that level in a tyrannical government, you are no longer allowed to speak any truth. You are no longer allowed to ask any questions because they deem it forbidden. And that is exactly where we're starting to go now in this country.
Exactly, Austin. In fact, you know, it's interesting. In the late age of legal drugs now, many employers are dropping zero tolerance drug tests. You heard that right. When Rye Electric was founded in Chicago or Orange County 5 years ago, it screened all of its prospective workers for drugs. If a test showed small amounts of drugs, the applicant was nixed. And the fast-growing construction company, which is a millennial-heavy workforce, has since adapted to the times. We still do the tests, but we choose to look the other way on marijuana. Choose to look the other way on marijuana. Okay, here's the thing, guys. If somebody's taking a drug that's going to change them or basically not make them quite as awake or quite as alert, do you really want them running heavy equipment or heavy machinery and around a bunch of other workers? I mean, I know how to run backhoes and crawlers and excavators. I can do all that. And I tell everybody when I'm running these things, stay away from the machine. If I don't see you and I spin this bucket around, it's going to hit you and it's going to kill you instantaneously. You're going to be dead. And the thing about it is, guys, is that, you know, do you really want people using drugs basically running equipment? I was at the Biltmore State last year, and one of the drivers basically asked one of the drivers, why is it all the bus drivers are no longer here? Why do you have to walk so far now to get to the Biltmore State? This is the home in Asheville, North Carolina, the largest of residents in the United States. And he said, well, we can't get enough people to pass drug tests. Period. That's it. Because so many people now are staying stoned and drugged, which is the debilitating of our society, guys. Where have all the little Americans gone? Where have all the macho guys gone? Ladies, my heart goes out to you. It does. If you're young and you're single and you're looking for a macho guy, or if you're old and you're divorced or your husband's died or whatever, and you're looking for a macho guy that can actually stand his own and protect you or protect the family or actually have stand up for what he believes in, where'd they all go? They was all programmed out of us, Austin, through political correctness. Little by little, they've destroyed it. It's like you said, Austin, everything good is bad, bad is good. It's all being done on purpose by the same group of bankers that run the planet. It was always the bankers. Yeah, matter of fact, it is always the bankers because they control the money supply. You take the money out of the mix, guys, there's no control over anybody because they haven't got the authority or the control to control these people. Because if there was another way to feed yourself and have a job and all the other stuff and not use money, they wouldn't have this control. It's what's called Babylonian money magic. It's what it's called. This is what they do to us. And because they always try to control every aspect of the population. Again, they want to sweep Christianity from Europe. They want to sweep Christianity from the United States. Hasn't been quite as effective here in the United States because we still got a lot of preachers preaching the truth. So what they do? They implement Zionism in the United States. Basically, we turn into a bunch of warmongering Christians in pursuit of the goals of the Middle East. Really, guys, think through all that. Love one another. Turn the other cheek. And that doesn't mean you're supposed to be getting beaten up on or you're racked on or somebody attacks your family, you can't defend yourself. I don't believe that at all. But really, the reality is the Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. Does that mean we're supposed to go into Iraq and kill a million people and kill 500,000 children and think it's okay? No, guys, that is not what Jesus taught. Love you guys. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity and the privilege again to pray for you this morning. You guys are awesome. Interesting show today. Went by pretty doggone fast. I want you guys to know, thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your texts. I love you. I appreciate you. You guys are family to me. Austin, close it up.
Absolutely. And guys, we have to understand that we have to start trying to take, and not trying, we have to straight up do it, just as fact. We have to start taking our health into our own hands. This is what we talk about so much on Health Masters and what we can do here. And a lot of people go, oh, it's easy for you guys. You live that lifestyle. And I do live that lifestyle. And that's what I do all the time. And so it may be a little bit easier for me, but I've also been out of that lifestyle before. You know, I used to not eat very good when I was in college. You know, there's been other times in my life when I haven't done what I needed to do, but I knew what I needed to do, and you can always change. I've seen that excuse a lot where people go, well, I've eaten this for so long and I've done this, so it doesn't really matter. Hogwash, man. Just because you ate this or did this or did this in the past doesn't define who you are today. You don't have to continue making the same mistakes over and over again when you already know the truth just because you made that mistake in the past. That's what life is all about, right? Making choices, making a mistake, learning from your mistakes, growing again, not making the same mistake, making the right decision next, growing forward, pushing. That's what it's about. So that's what we try to do, is give everyone the knowledge and the information that we have compiled over decades of research of what it really means to stay healthy, the things to stay away from, the things to take, and everything around it. I mean, does anybody think it's going to be normal and it's going to be okay if Bernie Sanders implements a $32 trillion health care for all plan over a 10-year period, $3.2 trillion a year on top of everything we're spending? Does anybody think that's going to be normal? Does anybody think that's going to be okay? All we have to do is start being healthy, start watching what we eat, and start realizing what we put in our body has consequences. And that is what we try to convey to so many people. So thank you guys for your support. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the phone calls. Healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, email us or contact us. Healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.